It is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discuss a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick. Only three of the 15 players between spots 61 and 75 in the world rankings are playing this week at Pebble Beach, the last event before the 64-man field for the WGC Match Play Tournament is set. Now, players ranked 1 through 64 in the world make it into Match Play, and then they go down to 65 and below for every player in the top 64 who doesn't play, like perhaps Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, number 1 in the world, he might not play at Match Play, so therefore, number 65 in the world gets to play, and he'll face Sergio in the first round, who's number 2 in the world. Question, are you surprised by the seeming lack of interest shown by players on the bubble to try to improve their world ranking and qualify for Match Play? Only 3 of 15 this week at Pebble.
I am not surprised, Russ, and I'll give you two reasons why. Number one, I don't think players really enjoy, number one, the Pebble experience. Even though the golf course is awesome and the view and everything playing, the otters, the whales, everything going on there is great, I really believe that the celebrity aspect, the long rounds, the weather conditions, all that factors into guys just not enjoying playing at Pebble. So I don't think you get a lot of guys, especially in the 61 to 75 range, who, you know, are going to go out there for the 6 days or whatever and go battle the weather, battle, all the stuff that's going around to play in that tournament, even though the course is so special. So that's number one. But number two is I don't think a lot of guys like the Match Play. And here's why. Most tour players are creatures of habit. They like getting there on Monday, playing their practice round Tuesday, enduring the pro-am on Wednesday, and then getting into it, knowing that if you play decent, you're going to at least play 2 days, and know if you play decent, you got a shot at making the cut. The problem with the Match Play is you could go do all that prep and be out of there the first day, and I don't think guys, in a weird way, unless they're Match Play specialists, and there aren't a lot of those guys, save for some of the Europeans that play in some of this stuff on a more regular basis, there aren't a lot of guys in the U.S. that play a ton of Match Play, especially when they get to the pro level. So even though it's a world golf event and it's got a lot of money and everything attached to it, I just don't think there's a ton of guys that are dying to get into it just because of the uncertainty of it.
Okay.
All right, number two goes to you, Russ. PGA Tour pro Steve Flesch pulled no punches in a very opinionated interview with Golf Magazine recently. Among the topics he discussed were the recent struggles of fellow lefty Phil Mickelson. As Flesch sees it, most of Phil's problems stem from his use of two different instructors, Butch Harmon and Dave Peltz. The two are just too different in their philosophies, with Peltz being super analytical and Harmon relying more on feel. That is bound to confuse Mickelson with mixed signals. Impossible to find balance in the varying methods. My question to you, what is the biggest reason for Phil's problems?
Well, this is an interesting theory that has been put forth by Steve Flesch regarding the yin and the yang, Butch Harmon and Dave Peltz. You know, you're kind of getting two messages, one in each ear, and you're bound to be confused. But listen, Phil Mickelson didn't even have Butch Harmon in his stable 3 years ago in 2006. Rick Smith was his swing instructor back then, and he still had the problem with, you know, going left with that, you know, that swing that gets a little late and the club face stays open when he gets a little tight and that ball stays out to the left, and that's how he lost the 2006 U.S. Open. I think Phil's biggest problem is the driver, and it's not the equipment, it's just the swing. He needs to shorten the swing. You know, he can't be taking that swing all the way back to parallel because, you know, he's seen his body type is just too hard to get that club all the way back to square at impact. And, you know, when he gets tight coming down the stretch, he leaves that ball out there to the left. Now, we've seen him in three events so far this year. We've seen him miss the cut, finish 60th, and now this week at Pebble, barely make the cut on the number. He had to birdie 18 yesterday at Pebble to make the cut to today's final round. So I think, you know, perhaps it's a little bit in the instruction of Butch Harmon, who is, you know, we know Dave Peltz. Dave Peltz, we've had on the show before. He's a former engineer at NASA. The guy is all about analyzing everything in mathematics and a scientific approach, and Butch Harmon a little bit more of a feel. So perhaps that's a little bit of it, but listen, Phil's been having these swing problems for years and years, way before Butch Harmon became his new swing instructor.
All righty, Russ. I'd like to respond, but I don't have time.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number three, Patrick. Speaking of Butch Harmon, Butch Harmon is Tiger Woods' former swing instructor, and recently, in a recently published article in the Bangkok Post — you didn't know we were using the Bangkok Post to get our stories here on Golf Exchange.
Spanning the globe, Russ.
Ex-coach Butch Harmon said Tiger Woods took a huge risk by playing in the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines last year on his injured knee. Harmon said Woods' goal of surpassing Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 major wins will be in serious jeopardy if he cannot make a full recovery. Woods, of course, is currently standing on 14 major championships. Butch said, quote, "We hope that what he did by playing the U.S. Open with a broken bone and a problem with cartilage in his knee, we hope that doesn't take away his chances to win, but we just don't know. We'll have to wait and see." Question, Pat, do you agree with Butch Harmon?
Yeah, but I mean, this is one of those things that where he's putting a statement out there that if Tiger doesn't do well, then you can look back and say, well, he shouldn't have played in the U.S. Open this past year. And if he does, then Butch can say, well, I guess he overcame it. I don't really understand too much of what he's saying, because it's based on future events of stuff. I like Butch Harmon. I like the fact that he speaks his mind. I mean, about Tiger, even though some of it might be sour grapes, I don't know really what their relationship currently is, or how badly it deteriorated there at the end, if any of this is just Butch, you know, mad at Tiger for leaving him or whatever. But I do think there's validity in that. But, you know, you can say that about anybody. You know, did Ernie Els jeopardize his career coming back from his knee injury? Or so? I don't know. Obviously, you're going to have to wait and see. I personally think that if you told Tiger that he's going to win it and he'll take the consequences after, he would do that 100 times out of 100. So I think Tiger on one leg can probably beat, or can still be competitive in this. I mean, literally, if he had to go around on gravity golf and hit on one leg, I think he could compete on the PGA Tour.
Right.
That's how good he is. So I think there might be some validity in what Butch is saying, but I think Tiger knows his body, knows what he's doing. And like I said, even if it does deteriorate a little bit, I still think he's going to be super competitive.
Just one last thought.
Wait a minute. All right, go ahead.
One last thought real quick before we get to the last topic. You know, science and medicine isn't the way it was 50 years ago. Mickey Mantle tore up his knee in playing outfield for the Yankees, and he was never the same. It's not like that nowadays. I mean, you can tear up your knee, and doctors can make it better, and sometimes even better than before. John Smoltz has said after he had Tommy John surgery, he threw a faster fastball than before. So, you know, medicine and science nowadays, you're not going to ruin your career by injuring yourself.
I agree with you, Russ. All right, number four goes to you. Last one. Angela Stanford spoiled Michelle Wee's bid for a victory in her first start as an LPGA Tour member, overcoming a 3-stroke deficit to win the season opening SBS Open by 3 shots Saturday. Wee had a disappointing 73 for her second straight runner-up finish in the tournament. The 19-year-old hometown favorite was cruising along, but made double bogey on 11 that gave Stanford the opening she needed. My question, Russ, is the second place finish by Wee a positive or negative, considering she had a 3-shot lead with 8 holes to go?
I'm going to go the glass half full with this versus the glass half empty. And, you know, I'm a Michelle Wee fan, so I'm always rooting for her to be successful. And we said 1 week ago during Inside the Ropes, we both expected big things from Michelle Wee. I'm going to take the whole picture, the week-long picture of her finishing second, and that's a positive. If you would have told us that Michelle Wee would finish second in her very first event as a card-carrying member of the LPGA Tour, I would have said, absolutely, I'll take it in a heartbeat. Now, having said that, she had, you know, a chance to win this thing. She was up by 3 with 8 holes to go, and, you know, she makes the double bogey at 11, and then 3 more bogeys coming in, and she was 5 over on her back 9 and loses by 3. So it's a disappointing finish for her, but I'm going to take a second-place finish. That's a positive for her. It's going to be a stepping stone, and I expect her to win 2 or 3 times this year, perhaps one of those being a major, and I do think she beats out what a lot of people are saying is the best crop of rookies on the LPGA Tour, possibly in its history, with Stacey Lewis and G.I. Shin. I think Michelle Wee wins Rookie of the Year this year, and I think she wins 2 or 3 times, and this is a good, positive stepping stone for her for things to come.
I completely agree with you, Russ. I think that she will use this as a positive stepping stone. She is an actual member of the tour now, so it's not this herky-jerky where she's doing a bunch of things and can't concentrate on winning, and I think this will boost her towards that end. I completely agree with you. this is much more of a positive than a negative. The only negative is if she would have been a tour member earlier and would have learned how to overcome the jitters and whatever she faced on those last eight holes, she probably would have won this thing. But that's going to be a learning experience that she now takes forward as she plays every week on the LPGA Tour, and she'll eventually figure it out.
Nice. Colin Holder giving us an extra 30 seconds for our final topic so Pat can post a retort. Very nice on that.
Thank you, Colin.
PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week. Discuss a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by our good friends at PGA National Resort and Spa.